Let's pay careful attention now to God's word to us this evening. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth. Our God comes. He does not keep silence. Before him is a devouring fire. Around him a mighty tempest. He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I will not accept a bull from your house or goats from your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the hills, and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world and all its fullness are mine. Do I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Then our text this evening, verses 14 and 15. Offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows to the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you shall glorify me. But to the wicked, God says, what right have you to recite my statutes or take my covenant on your lips? For you hate discipline and you cast my wounds behind you. If you see a thief, you are pleased with him. And you keep company with adulterers. You give your mouth free rein for evil, and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your own mother's son. These things you have done, and I have been silent. You thought that I was one like yourself, but now I rebuke you and lay the charge before you. Mark this then, you who forget God, lest I tear you apart, and there be none to deliver. The one who offers thanksgiving as his sacrifice glorifies me. The one who orders his way rightly, I will show the salvation of God. So far God's word. Let's ask him for a blessing on this word now. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come to think about prayer, we reflect on the fact that what a wonderful blessing it is that we can come before you. That we can approach your throne anytime, anywhere. Lord, we thank you that we can do so now. We pray that you will remove any of the distractions of the day from us, that we may simply be able to focus on what it is that you want us to hear this evening. Speak to our hearts. Speak to our souls. Work in us through your Holy Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. On June the 3rd, 1965, a man by the name of Ed White was the second human being to walk in space. For about 23 minutes, he had a view that very few people he'd been able to see in person. He enjoyed the view so much that he was very reluctant to come back inside his space capsule, so much so that he had to be ordered to return before the capsule went round into the darkness. But apart from his spacesuit, there was one thing keeping Ed White alive. And that one thing was a 7.6 metre gold tether and umbilical cord. Through this cord, Ed White received oxygen, keeping him alive in the hostile environment of space. Through this cord, he was kept from floating away into space, never ever to return. An umbilical cord, in some ways, much like a baby's. For 9 months, keeping him or her alive in their mother's womb, providing safety, providing oxygen, providing nutrients. And the umbilical cord has been described as a picture of prayer. And in a way, it's a wonderful picture of prayer. As we, in prayer, are tethered to our Heavenly Father to stop us drifting away. as we receive life, as we receive grace, as we come before our Heavenly Father in prayer. So this afternoon, we're beginning to look at prayer as we come to the end of the Heidelberg Catechism. We're still in that section that talks about our thankfulness, and we're finishing off by looking at the Lord's Prayer. So turn with me in your Sing to the Lords to page number 845, or Lord's Day 45 if you have one of the Creeds and Confessions books. Lord's Day 45, we're going to recite together question and answer 116 and 117, page 845 at the back. I'll ask the question and we'll all answer together. Why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who pray continually and groan inwardly, asking God for these gifts and thanking Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask for. Second, we must acknowledge our need and misery, hiding nothing, and humble ourselves in His majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord. This is what He promised us in His Word. Now, there's a lot in there. We're not going to cover all of that tonight. We'd be here for a couple of hours. But we're going to focus on a couple of things as we look this evening at Psalm 50. And this evening, we're going to see that prayer shows our thankfulness and our need for God's grace. Prayer shows our thankfulness and our need for God's grace. And the first thing we're going to see, our first point this evening, is that we give our heartfelt thanks. We give our heartfelt thanks. Psalm 50 is a psalm of judgment. It begins with the mighty God, the God the Lord, summoning creation as a witness. Speaks, he says in verse 1 of chapter 50, the mighty one, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting. But who is it that's in the dock? Who is God putting on trial? Verse 4, He calls to the heavens above and to the earth that He may judge His people. Verse 5, Gather to me my faithful ones who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Verse 7, He makes it crystal clear. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. And what was the problem? What was God's charge against His people? It wasn't that they weren't offering sacrifices. No, they were doing everything they should. Verse 8, not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. The people were making sacrifices in the temple before God. But as they were doing so, without heart. They were going through the motions. They were ticking the boxes. Their hearts weren't in it. And God says, I don't need your sacrifices. I own it all. Every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills. I know all the birds of the hills. Everything that moves in the field is mine. I don't need you. I don't need your prayer. A reminder to us that God owns everything, that God owns us. He made us. We belong to Him, whether we acknowledge Him or not. But in some ways, we can be like Israel too, can't we? As we think about our own prayers, the quick prayers that we make at lunchtime or dinner time, the half-asleep prayers, or, and I'm guilty of this far too often, that prayer formula. Flipping through that recited, well-worn prayer without thinking about what we're praying, without engaging, without using our minds and our hearts as we come before our God. But in verse 14, and that's the start of our passage this evening, God speaks as to what he does want. He tells us. And in doing so, he uses two words for God. Verse 14, he says, offer to God. That word there is Elohim in the Hebrew. It means God the strong and mighty one. God the one who's to be feared. Reminding the people of Israel of who God is. Of the fact that he is above all things and the fact that he owns all things. And then in verse 14, he says, and perform your vows to the Most High. That's Elyon. That's God as the high and exalted one, the God who is above all. He's reminding the people of Israel, remember who it is that you're bringing your sacrifices to. Remember who it is that you're coming before. And that helps us as we think about our own prayers. As we think about who we come before, how we speak to God, how we talk to God. Now, when I was about five, as a young boy, I was saying goodbye to one of the respected elderly gentlemen in our church. He'd come to visit, he'd dropped something off. And as he was going, I waved and said very cheerfully, good riddance. I'd heard this at school, and it was sort of the thing that we would say to each other as we were going. And it was a bit of a joke between us, but at five, I had no idea what that really means. And my mother told me off in no uncertain terms. I needed to be respectful to who I was talking to, not to be flippant, not to try and be clever. How much more the God of all creation as we come before him. The God of all creation who's given us, and we've just celebrated that at Christmas, the greatest gift, his son Jesus Christ, who was born for us, who died for us, who paid for our sins, who gives us life. And so as we come before our God, as we think about who he is and what he's done, our response should be one of thanks. Our sacrifice to him is modern day Christians should be a prprayer of thanks, heartfelt appreciation for who it is we're coming to and for what God has done for us. And that's why, again, our prayers shouldn't simply be takeaways. I'll have two hot dogs, a couple of fish, and a scoop of chips. Thanks for this day. Be with us when we sleep. Bless the food. Forgive my sins. Same thing. Our prayers, rather, should be filled, first of all, with praise for God. Requests, yes, but in balance with our thankfulness to him. And our thankfulness should flow not just in prayer, but into all of our lives. That's the point that the psalmist makes there in the second half of verse 14. Perform your vows to the Most High. Living lives that reflect who God is, our relationship to him, keeping the Ten Commandments as we've been considering over these past couple of months, respecting God for who he is, thinking about what Jesus Christ means as we come to him, thankful to God for his blessings to us. We are to be thankful in prayer, and God makes that point through the psalmist. But prayer is also a means of grace. And that's our second point this evening. We receive God's grace. We receive God's grace. Now, one of the purchases that we've made over the past year, the year just gone by, was a PLB. Can anyone tell me what a PLB is?
A personal locator beacon.
They're not cheap little toys, I tell you. But what a personal locator beacon, a PLB, is, it's a piece of equipment of last resort. When you're in the bush, trapped somewhere, unable to reach in cell phone coverage, when you need help and you can't get help yourself, you set off that PLB. But as I said, they're expensive. And usually when you set off a PLB, you're in the middle of nowhere and they send a helicopter. That's also expensive. It puts people out of their days. It inconveniences people. And then, on top of it all, you have to pay for a new battery as well. It's a tool of last resort. But how often do we use prayer as a tool of last resort? Why is it that we fail to bring things before God in prayer? There's a number of possible reasons. See if any of these echo with you. Perhaps because we value our independence. We're full of pride. We can manage on our own. We don't need God's help. We don't like asking for directions. We don't like asking God for help. We don't want to bother God. Maybe we're not convinced that our prayers will be effective. We simply forget. We remember the big stuff, but we forget to bring before Him the little things. Or only when all else fails, we read the instructions. Only when all else fails, we come to God in prayer. But in verse 15, God is saying, call me. Talk to me. Come to me in the day of trouble. Come to me when you're in trouble. Let this be the first thing you do. Let coming to me in prayer be the default position. Remember that picture of the umbilical cord. The life nutrients that come through that cord. Prayer is like that for us as God gives us His grace. And God is saying here to us this evening, bring your requests, bring your grief, bring your trials, bring your sorrows, bring everything to me. What are we saying when we bring our requests to God? We're saying to God, we need you. We can't do it on our own. Help me. Help us, please. We do so first of all as we come to Him in Jesus Christ, asking Him for forgiveness, committing our lives to Him through the work of His Holy Spirit. But we also need to do so on a daily, hourly basis. Think of that baby again in its mother's womb, as that umbilical cord has formed. A baby doesn't, in its first week or two, take all the nutrients in, store it away and suck all up all those nutrients, and then just survives for the next 30-odd weeks. No, there's a constant flow of nutrients. We need a constant flow of God's grace. As the hymnist says, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Saviour, I come to thee. God gives grace to us through prayer. Now you may be listening and thinking, I wish my prayer life was like that. Prayer for me is hard. It's tough. It's hard work. I just feel so dry. Brothers and sisters, at times of our life, that's a reality for many of us. That may be the reality for you now. You just find prayer tough. You find it difficult. What do? Do you stop? Do you put it aside? Well, sometimes, for a time, we don't feel hungry, do we?
But what do we do? Do we stop eating? Sometimes breathing can be inconvenient, but do we stop? No, we keep breathing. When we're struggling in prayer, what better request to bring to Him but our struggles? To bring them to God and ask Him for His grace. God, prayer for me is tough. I'm distracted. I don't know how to pray. I don't want to be here before you. Help me. Give me a heart. Give me the words to say. And as we do so, we can be reminded that we don't have but one, we have one but two advocates working for us. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us with groanings unmentionable. We read the other day from Romans chapter 8, Jesus Christ Himself is interceding, is described as an advocate for us as well. Even if it is a struggle, keep breathing. Keep praying. And in the second half of verse 15, we have God's promise to us. I will deliver you, He says. Does that mean that God will just take it all away? Give us what we ask for? He could. Sometimes He does grant our wish and take it away, but not always. Ultimately, yes, there is a time where He will fulfill all of our needs, spiritual, eternal, mental, physical. They will be totally filled. But for some of us, that's a wait to glory. A wait till we see our Saviour face to face. But we do have God's promise that He hears us, that He sustains us, even if He doesn't take some of those trials away. We are to come and give our heartfelt thanks to God. In coming in prayer, we receive God's grace. But thirdly, as we come to Him in prayer, we glorify Him. It's tucked in there at the end of verse 15. And you shall glorify me. We've already talked about the thanks that we bring to Him in praising His name. And it makes sense, doesn't it, to thank God for the work He's done for us. We thanked, or I hope you thanked, the cook on Christmas Day, or the cooks at Christmas Day. Not too late when you go home now if you haven't said thank you. We've been encouraged today to come before God in thankfulness for what He's done. We've been reminded that we can thank Him because He is mighty and all-powerful. But we also bring Him glory, and the psalmist wants to see that this evening. We bring Him glory when we come to Him with our needs, when we express our dependence upon Him. A baby born to his or her mother is totally and utterly dependent for those first couple of weeks and months after they've been born. We show our utter dependence when we bring everything, we come to Him, when we depend on Him in prayer. As we live our lives before Him, as we acknowledge our need, as we acknowledge that He gives us everything, the roof over our heads, the jobs we have, the very air that we breathe, we bring Him glory as we acknowledge that. We bring God the highest compliment, the highest praise when we say, as the hymnist said, I need Thee every hour, in joy or pain, come quickly and abide, our life or life is vain. I need Thee every hour. Brothers and sisters, why should Christians pray? Because praying is as necessary as breathing. As I close this evening, I'm going to close with a different hymn that I've been referring to. And this hymn is titled Sweet Hour of Prayer. And I don't want you to go away thinking, Pastor Albert said that I've got to go and spend an hour in prayer. That's not the point of the hymn. The point of the hymn is the grace of coming and spending time before God. And if that's not true, if that's not a reality for you at the moment, then this hymn is a prayer asking that that would be true. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne. Make all my wants and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief. My soul has often found relief and oft escaped the tempter's snare by thy return, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, the joys I feel, the bliss I share of those whose anxious spirits burn with strong desires for thy return. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Amen. Let's pray. Please pray with me. Oh, Heavenly Father, we pray first of all that what we've just heard, those words that we've just heard, would be a reality for all of us, Lord. We pray especially here this evening for those of us who are struggling in our prayer lives. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our plea. May prayer be for us a time of blessing. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for a reminder of who you are this evening, that you are God Almighty, that you are the God who is to be feared, to be worshipped, to be adored, the God who is above all, but yet also the God who came down to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your work for us. Thank you for your ongoing blessings for us. Help us, Heavenly Father, just like a baby depends in the womb totally on his or her mother, help us to totally depend on you, to bring our requests to you, to bring our needs to you, to talk to you, to bear our soul to you. And meet us there, we pray, Heavenly Father, in that sweet time of prayer. May this bring you glory. We pray this, and all God's people said in Jesus' name, Amen.